Hey, Generation Church, we welcome you and invite you to encounter Jesus with us. We believe that through him, we will encounter love and discover our purpose. So take a seat, lean in, and let this message fortify your faith.
Well, just to give you a little backdrop about last week, if you weren't able to hear, this week is going to be kind of going in from last week. And last week I spoke about when the Lord touches your life. And when God touches your life, every time he gives you a commission, he sends you out. There's something that he calls on your life specifically. So every single person in this room, when the Lord comes to you and when he touches your life, from that day, he commissions you and he gives you a purpose and he says, this is what you're made for, and then he sends you out. And today we're just going to be talking about, in the Christian walk, what happens as we follow him. And so, by show of hands, I just have a question for everyone. Who here wants to be perfect and complete and needing absolutely nothing? By show of hands, who in this room would like that? To be perfect, complete, needing nothing else? Okay. Well, let me tell you the secret to that. James 1, that's where we're going to go off. Speaking of James, Rick, this is what you need to be perfect and complete and needing absolutely nothing. It says, dear brothers and sisters, when troubles of any kind come your way, consider it an opportunity for great joy. For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. May not be what you wanted to hear, but the reality is, when the Lord touches your life, when he comes to you, and you follow him, you're going to go through hard times. And there will be moments that are difficult, there will be moments that are hard, and I want you to understand that we don't have to be afraid or run from trials. We don't have to be afraid or run from problems or suffering. No, James says, consider it a joy when troubles of any kind. It doesn't matter what it is, what you're going through. James is clearly saying here, consider it joy. Consider it joy that you're going through what you're going through. And if looking down even further, it says, let it grow, and when your endurance is fully developed, you'll be perfect and complete, needing nothing. See, when troubles come, when trials come, it's an opportunity for our faith to grow. It's an opportunity for us to look upon him, upon his face. There's two things that can happen for a Christian when you go through hard things. You can either turn towards him or you can turn away. Those are the two options. When we choose to turn towards him in the middle of whatever we're going through, no matter how hard it is, when we choose to just seek his face, then our faith has an opportunity to grow. And through that, endurance is built, and when our endurance is fully developed, we'll be perfect, complete, needing nothing. And this is a lifelong thing. This doesn't happen in a day or two. This happens in our entire life, every single day. When something goes wrong, when things come up, we seek him, and our faith has an opportunity to grow. What if we got excited when troubles came instead of moping around and being sad? How would our life change? What if instead of complaining about, I don't have this, I don't have that, this is happening, you don't understand what my week was like, what if instead of complaining, we considered it an opportunity of joy? What if we considered it an opportunity to be closer to the Lord and we received the joy that he had within that? In the Old Testament, let's give you perspective. Numbers 11 in the Old Testament. So you have the Israelites. Moses was leading them through the wilderness. And it says they began to complain about their hardship. And the Lord heard everything they said. Oh, man. The Lord's anger blazed against them, and he sent a fire to rage among them. He destroyed some of the people in the outskirts of the camp, and then the people screamed to Moses for help. And when he prayed to the Lord, the fire stopped. After that, the area was known as Taberah, which means place of burning, because fire from the Lord had burned among them there. See, in the Old Testament, the Lord consumed people in fire for complaining. Just to give you a little bit of motivation to not complain. Praise the Lord. Jesus has come and he's died on the cross. Oh my goodness. Complaining, that's not of the Lord. That's not what he wants for us. He doesn't want us to be people that complain. Times can get tough. Times can get hard. And we can have no idea how we're going to make it through something. But if we put our faith in him, he will give us strength. He will give us he'll give us something to hold on to, something to look forward to. When we put our faith in him, we're able to go through those hard times. One of the real reasons you see him get frustrated with people. He's like, don't you remember who I am? I'm the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. That's who I am. Do you not remember? Remember what he's done. The Israelites, they were slaves to the Egyptian. You can see it in history for so many years. And then they cried out to the Lord, and the Lord went to Moses when he was 80 years old. And Moses led almost 3 million people out into the wilderness and then to the promised land through Joshua. Almost 3 million people. He was 80 years old. The Lord split the Red Sea. The Lord came to Moses on Mount Sinai. The Lord spoke to Moses face to face. The Lord turned the Nile into a river of blood because the Pharaoh had such a hard heart. He didn't want to let the Egyptians go. And so you hear about all the things that happened. The Nile River turned to blood. The dust turned to gnats. Frogs coming from out of nowhere. The Passover that came. All the firstborn sons were taken. The Pharaoh's son was taken. Until finally he was like, just go. Just go, leave. Do you not see who he is? He's the same God today as he was back then. And in our minds, it's hard to imagine that God did those things. But I tell you what, there's people in this room that's experienced the power of God. There's people in all the parts of the world that's experienced God's power and his glory, and they know that it's real. Just like this morning when we were praying for healing. Like I was sharing last week, there are tens and tens of thousands of documented miracles. Like I mentioned last week, Craig Keener, he's written over 1 million words on this. And documented miracle meaning if somebody has a broken leg and they have an x-ray of that broken leg, and then they get prayed for in the name of Jesus and they're healed. They go to the doctor the very next day, they get an x-ray and the leg is completely healed. That's a documented miracle, and we can see that there's evidence that this person was healed. There's tens of thousands of that documented. His power is real. We just need to have faith. And when you just put your eyes towards him, you get the bigger picture. Instead of complaining, you remember, oh yes, this is the God that split the Red Sea. This is the God that rescued the Israelites from the Egyptians. This is the God who made manna fall from heaven. And he, in the wilderness, and he fed these people every single day for 40 years straight. This was the longest ongoing miracle that we have in documented history. Yeah. Nothing else comes close to that. That's millions of meals fed. He is real. His power is real. And he wants us to always remember what he's done and never forget who he is. When you forget what he's done, you begin to waver in your faith. When you forget the things he's done for you in your life, you begin to say things, well, maybe this time it won't work out. Maybe this time I actually won't be able to pay rent. Maybe this time I won't be able to pay for groceries. Maybe this time I won't get the job that I've been wanting. And these doubts start to go into your head when you forget who he is and what he's done. But when you remember who he is, you can have faith, saying, Lord, whether I get the food or I don't, you're still worthy, and I'm going to have joy in you. Now, not everybody, the Lord is the provider, and he will always provide. But that doesn't mean that you're going to be a millionaire. That's not how it works. And you should never come to the Lord for that. That's called abuse. Jesus is the most abused person in the existence of earth. Nobody abuses anybody more than people abuse Jesus. We take from him every day, all the time. We go to him and we have our demands and we say, this is what I want, Lord. And if you don't do it, I won't believe you. If you don't do it, then I'm not going to follow you. That's abuse and that's manipulation. And the Lord can see right through our heart. If our heart's really for him, he will see that and he'll meet you in it. If you look further in James, in verse 5, if you need wisdom, ask our generous God and he will give it to you. He will not rebuke you for asking, but when you ask him, be sure that your faith is in God alone. Do not waver, for a person with divided loyalty is as unsettled as a wave at the sea that is blown and tossed by the wind. Such people should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Their loyalty is divided between God and the world, and they are unstable in everything they do. Have faith. Keep your eyes on Jesus and on him alone. And if you do that, your faith will not waver. You see, joy and suffering, if you look through the scripture and you look through and you see how these Christians live historically from the time of Jesus to now, joy and suffering have always been connected. There's always been a connection between joy and suffering. And even if more so, if you look at Romans 5, 3 through 5, it says, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know that they help us develop endurance. What did James just say, right? For you know that when your faith is tested, your endurance has a chance to grow. So let it grow, and when your endurance is fully developed, you will be perfect and complete, needing nothing. And then we have Romans saying, we can rejoice too when we run into problems and trials, for we know they help us develop endurance. And endurance develops strength of character, and character strengthens our confident hope of salvation. And this hope will not lead to disappointment, for we know how dearly God loves us because he has given us the Holy Spirit to fill our hearts with his love. Rejoice in problems. This is an opportunity to develop endurance. This is an opportunity to seek him, to keep our eyes on him. And when we can get that as Christians, as believers, then we can be unshakable when problems come because we will seek him. And the moment we seek him and we get in our face and we cry out to the Lord when things come, that's the moment where he brings peace and he brings joy unlike anything the world's ever known. He is the joy of the world. He is the Prince of Peace. And when problems come, it can be so easy to go to all these little things for peace and for joy, for these little small moments of happiness. But Jesus, he's saying, do you not know who I am? Look at God. Look at what he's done for people time and time again. Look at how he's provided for the people who's called out to him.
who's loved him. It's not about striving. It's not about performing. You don't have to be a specific person. You don't have to be doing certain things. All you have to do is call upon his name one time, and he meets you in that place, and you can experience peace and joy unlike anything you've ever known in this world, like anything else. There's nothing that comes close. But so time and time again, we can get distracted, and we can believe that these other things are more important. We get distracted with the busyness of life. When the Lord's right here, and you're scrambling, looking, how do I solve this problem? How do I get through this? And he's like, would you just call to me, and I'm going to be there with you, and I'll be with you through it. Do you want to know the Prince of Peace? Do you want to know the joy of the world? Yes. It just takes a simple call to his name. You don't have to know everything there is to know about the Bible. There's people around the world who can't read, and they know the Lord because they can listen to the Bible. There's right now, there in Mozambique, there whenever they had the cyclones years ago, you can look it up. It was the worst flood that's ever touched that country that they know of. And tens of thousands of people lost their home. It was complete chaos. Iris Ministries would go out to these people that not even the largest humanitarian aid, they wouldn't even go to these places because everything was so destroyed and it was too hard to get to. But Iris Ministries, they would go out to these villages, people who need water, they need food. Everything's destroyed. And they would bring water, they'd bring food, and they would also bring solar Bibles. And these solar Bibles, they would read the whole audio Bible in whatever their language is in. And so they would give them their needs. Well, this is happening still today. When they would come back to these people after they gave them solar Bibles, these are people who need water. They need food. They rushed around them saying, we don't care about the water. We don't care about the food. Give us more solar Bibles because the Word of God is better than anything we've known before. That's who God is. When you realize who he is, how important he is, how priceless he is, you say to yourself, I want him more than I want water. I want him more than I want food. And your life has changed. In Colossians 1:24, it says, be glad when you suffer for Christ in your body. And then just adding this in here, because I just love this when I was reading Colossians. Paul has a secret for all people. Now this is secret. This is classified, okay? Understand this. He says in verse 27, for God wanted them to know that the riches and glory of Christ are for you Gentiles too. And this is the secret. Christ lives in you. This gives you the assurance of sharing his glory. When you give your life to Jesus and you say yes to him, yes. Christ lives in you. So when problems come, understand he's there. He's with you. He understands and he feels your pain and he weeps with us too. Yes. And he hurts when we hurt. He's not saying suck it up. That's not what he's saying. He's saying, I'm here, and I want to comfort you, and I want to give you peace, and I want to weep with you. That's what he's saying. Don't just suck it up. Bring it to him, and be real about where you're at. Don't put on a show. Don't pretend like you have it all together. If you don't, get on your face and cry out to him, and he'll be right there with you, and he'll meet you in that. In the Old Testament, having joy, you see, sometimes as Christians, joy can be seen as an option. Joy is optional. You know, when it comes, that's great. When it's here, that's amazing. Hoorah, you know, amazing. Kumbaya. But in the Old Testament, joy was not an option. Deuteronomy 28:47. This is in the law. You do not serve the Lord your God with joy and enthusiasm, for the abundant benefits you have received. You will serve your enemies whom the Lord will send against you. You will be left hungry, thirsty, naked, lacking in everything. The Lord will put an iron yoke on your neck, oppressing you harshly until he has destroyed you. Again, just giving you some motivation here. In the Old Testament, enjoying the Lord, having joy, that wasn't an option. It was even in the law. We're to celebrate him. That was a part of the law. We should have times of the year where we celebrate him and enjoy him. Sometimes we make it so legalistic that we have to do this, we have to do that, and we have to act this way, we have to act that way. No, when you turn to him and you're focused on him, you're going to have joy. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, you're going to want to serve him with joy. You're going to want to serve him enthusiastically. This is going to be a desire within your heart that you would genuinely want. When the Lord touched me, when he came and he touched my life, and he healed me of suicide, and he took that completely from me, that day forward, for the first time in my life, I grew up in church, and I knew the stories, and in high school, I would even bring my Bible to class and read it when we had free time. But you see, there was something missing. And it wasn't until I think I was 19, and when I went to the school and I got prayed for and I just cried out to the Lord, and because I dealt through suicide for years, from 16 years old forward. I mean, so many times tried to take my life. And then I cried out to the Lord and I received prayer. And from that day forward, suicide left. And then after that, everything was just fun with the Lord. It was just a joy to serve him. It was just a joy to know him, to be in his presence, to be able to experience his peace and his joy like nothing I've ever known before. You can be raised in church, you can know the stuff, you can know the songs, you can know the Bible, but unless really within your heart you've cried out to him, it's meaningless. Unless within your heart you've sought to know him, it's worth nothing. You can have all the knowledge in the world. You can have all the PhDs in theology in the world. Whoop-de-doo. You don't know Jesus, then that's worth nothing. It's one thing to know about him, and it's one thing to know him. We need to know him, not just know about him. And when we know him, we get to be a friend. And that's where relationship comes in. We can have joy when we suffer because the Lord will show us the bigger picture. You see, he gives us a glimpse of the joy before us when we suffer. When we put our faith in him and when we look to him, he comforts us and he comes to us and he says, look, you're going to be okay. And he reminds us of what's to come in our future. What is to come for every believer? Eternal life. That's what's to come. And you know, every single person that's called upon the Lord, they are promised a few things. They're promised no more suffering when they die. No more depression. They're promised eternal peace. They're promised to live forever in a land of just joy in his presence. No more people that aren't healed. No more diseases. None of it. And that's what we're promised after we die. So why is it when things come wrong for us? Why is it that we get so focused on that and we just completely forget that what we have waiting for us? Well, there's so much that we have that the Lord wants to give us that is there for us for when we leave this body and go to him. There's so much he has for us. We have an inheritance in him. And when we understand that we're not just We're not just the leftovers. We're not just the crumbs. We're the main meal. I mean, we're the entree. And he wants us to be right beside him. He doesn't want us to be like some type of pet. He wants us to understand that we're his child. And that we're adopted into the kingdom. And that nothing's going to change his love for you and his care for you. Nothing. When you go through trouble, it's an honor, it's a privilege, because we're able to wholeheartedly seek him. No matter what you're going through, build your life on Jesus. And if you build your life on him, when the fire comes, you're going to be still standing on solid ground. Our foundation has to be him. And if we make it him, then when the things do come, it's going to get rough. It's going to get windy. The waves are going to get big. But I tell you what, if you built your life on him, you'll still be standing. And you won't fall. James 1, going further. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. And those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them. They will fade away like a little flower in the field. The hot sun rises and the grass withers, and little flower droops and falls, and its beauty fades away. In the same way, the rich will fade away with all of their achievements. Don't put your faith and your heart into the things of the world. Put your faith and your heart into the Lord. What did the Lord say your treasure should be? In heaven. That's where our treasure should lie. In heaven. And so many times, because of the culture that we live in, because of where we're at, we get so caught up in, I don't have money. I don't have enough money. I can't get this. I can't get that. I can't do that. No. Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them. We need that perspective. And if the Lord chooses to bless you financially, then that's amazing. And that's wonderful. But you need to understand, if that's not your season right now, then the Lord has honored you. And it says you have something to boast about. It is okay. What do you think people who believe in Jesus in the poorest countries in the world and Africa do? You think they just sit down and mope until somebody gives them thousands of dollars? Not in the slightest. When I went to one of the poorest countries on earth and I saw the people who believed in Jesus, I saw people who lived in mud huts. I saw people whose walls, they used sticks and newspaper to hold up their house. People who, they didn't have any food to eat for days. Chicken, beef, that's a luxury. All you have is what you can get. And they had more joy than any person I've still met to this day. Nobody's had more joy than those people I've met who have Jesus, and in the world's view, they have absolutely nothing, but they have him. That's the Christian life. Like Paul says, I've learned to be content. Whether I have a lot, whether I have a little, I'm content because I know who God is and because you know what waits you in the future. And going further, God blesses those who patiently endure testing and temptation. Afterward, they'll receive the crown of life that God has promised to them, to those who love him. And remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. The temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. It's a blessing when we endure. We're blessed for enduring. When testing and temptation comes from our own desires. It comes from within us. And so if there's a temptation that you just, it's been bugging you and bugging you, understand that it comes from our own desires. And that's why we need Jesus. Because when it comes from within, it's a matter of the heart. And only Jesus can do that. Only He can heal our heart. Only He can mold us and shape us into the person that we've always created to be. But we have to take accountability. We have to know, this is from within myself. I need work on my heart. I'm not saying that I've got it all together, I'm fine, this is just that, and I'm going to get through it. No, being real with where you're at, saying, this is coming from within my own heart, and I need heart surgery, Lord. Would you come, and would you heal my heart, and would you mold and shape me? And He will. And when we endure in those hard times, we will be blessed. That's what His word says. Suffering doesn't have to be something that we run from. Suffering is something that we can know that we have an opportunity. We have that chance to get to know the Lord better. What an honor and what a privilege in this life. We get to go through hard things. We get to go through difficult things, because when we're in heaven, that's not going to happen. So this life's different. While we're here, we get to go through hard times and trials. And in those times, we get to make a choice and we get to choose Jesus. You see, that's what makes it so special. That's how we know where our heart is placed. When the fire is turned up and when everything in our life is going wrong, where are we looking towards? That's going to show where your heart's at. When things are going wrong, what do? Do you get on this and scroll and scroll and scroll so you can get those dopamine hits? Is that what you do when things go wrong? Or do you turn to Jesus and say, Lord, I need your help? What do you do? Believers, He's called every person, call upon the name of the Lord when things go wrong, and He'll meet you right where you are. There's nothing that even compares to the power of Jesus. All over the world, all through history, thousands of years, people have wrote about this man named Jesus, and you see it in other religions. And most scholars will attest and believe that He was real and He lived. And most scholars, whether they're Christian or not, will attest and believe that He was crucified on a cross. So why was He crucified on a cross if He was real and He lived? Who was He? Was He just a normal man? Or was He just a prophet? Or was He the person He said He was? The Messiah, the Son of God, the living one, the beginning, the end. He is the Word. He is the Lord. That's what we need to ask ourselves. Why do we see Him so much in history? Why do we see His name in every nation we go to? It doesn't matter what nation you're in. You need Jesus. And China, a lot of people believe they have more Christians than America because of the underground church. And that in that place, you can't even, it's not allowed to openly show your faith to Jesus in that place. And so you have all these churches that they disguise themselves as something else so the government doesn't shut them down. And you have millions and millions of Christians in China just going there to seek the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, church in there isn't from 10 a.m. to 12. It's not. No, there's people who get on a train and travel 12 hours to get to church. And when they get to church, they're not just there for a couple hours. They're there for 12 hours, constantly worshiping and seeking the Lord. Weeping and crying. Just look at some of the film in Finger of God. Look at some of the footage of underground churches. You see little kids, not just adults, little kids crying and weeping to the Lord. There was one church I saw on this film, and they meet for church every day for 12 hours, every single day. And every day, because of where they're at, it's so hot, they don't have AC. It's always over 100 degrees in that room. That's how much they want them. they realize how priceless he is. And they're willing to pay any cost for him. So many people have given their life for this. So many people have laid down everything they have for this. One of the people who's given their life for this, I wanted to share the story. James, one of the disciples of Jesus, he was the brother of John, and this was the first of 12 apostles to be martyred. He was executed about AD 44 through the order of King Herod. And one of the writers of this time, we have historical records of a writer named Clemens Alexandrinus. I said that wrong, but you get what I'm saying. This writer of that time wrote that James, this is how he died. He was being led to his execution. And while he was being led to his execution, he had such extraordinary courage. His courage was so great that it impressed one of the people that captured him. So this was a man, James, he's being led to his death, but he had no fear. He had such great courage that one of the people that captured him to take him to his death was so impressed, was so moved that he fell to his knees before James and he asked for his forgiveness and confessed that he was a Christian too. And then he said, James, you shouldn't die alone. And so he made the choice to be beheaded with him. James had such a reverence for the Lord, such a fear for God, such a heart for the Lord that it moved the guy who captured him to want to die with him. And that guy could have just kept going and he could have avoided it all. And then the other one, Peter. The only account of Peter we have of the martyrdom is from another Christian writer. I'm not going to say his name. It looks like hippopotamus, but that's not how you say it. But Nero in that time, he was the emperor of the time that Peter was put to death. When the disciples heard that Nero wanted to put Peter to death, they begged Peter to flee the city, which he did. But when Peter got to the city gate, this was after Jesus was already crucified and resurrected, he saw Jesus walking toward him. Peter fell to his knees and said, Lord, where are you going? And Christ answered, I've come to be crucified again. By this, Peter understood that it was his time to suffer the death of Jesus, which would glorify God. So he went back to the city. After being captured and taken to his place of martyrdom, he requested that he be crucified in an upside-down position because he didn't consider himself worthy to be crucified in the same position as the Lord. Peter was running. He was fleeing the city as the disciples told him to. And then the Lord met him, and he said, this is your time. And if you look, this goes all the way to how he died. John 21 confirms this. Jesus foretold how Peter would die. Peter went back to die for the Lord because he knew it would glorify him. It's a joy to suffer for Jesus. It's a privilege, it's an honor to suffer for him. When you go through trials, when you go through problems, whatever it is an honor to suffer for Jesus. And it's an honor to be going through things and to call upon his name. And we have to see it that way. If you want to be closer to him, if you want to see his face, if you want to hear his voice, seek him in the times that are hard. He's looking for hearts that are genuine, that are pure, that are really for him. That's what he's looking for. And that shows when the fire comes, it's going to show where your heart's placed. If you built it on solid ground or other things. And 1 Peter, like I was saying last week, 1 Peter in the Bible was written to Christians who were being fed to lions at that time. That's what 1 Peter was being written to. And this is what 1 Peter 1 says. Be truly glad. There's wonderful joy ahead. Even when, though you must endure trials, for a little while. These trials will show your faith is genuine. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold, though your faith is far more precious than gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus is revealed to the whole world. You love him even though you've never seen him. Though you do not see him now, you trust him and you rejoice with a glorious, inexpressible joy. And the reward for trusting him will be the salvation of your souls. This was written to people in a time under Emperor Nero who was feeding Christians to lions. And this is what Peter had to say. He's worth it. Nobody comes close to the glorious presence of Jesus. And all it takes is just faith. When we go through hard things, we just need faith. We just need to call upon his name and to be honest with where we're at, be honest with God, be honest about how we feel, and don't try to manipulate him. Don't come to him because you're trying to make him do something. Don't say certain things to him, certain words, because you think he's going to give you stuff. Yeah. Just go to him and say, Lord, whether I get this or whether I don't, you're still worthy. Whether I'm able to pay for food or not, you're still worthy. You're still worthy of everything I have. And I can tell you this, if you have that attitude, have joy unlike anything you've known. You're going to have peace like unlike anything you've known. And I can sit up here and I can say this because I've gone through so many things, hard things. Right now, I'm going through things and I'm like, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get through this. But I've called upon the name of the Lord and he's given me joy and he's given me peace. So I don't just come up here and just say words. I come up here and I tell you something that I know. I've experienced this and I'm experiencing it now. He'll move on your life if you just say yes every single day. In the Christian life, it's not about just saying yes one day. Every day, when you go through hard things, call upon him and you'll meet him and he'll speak to you. Out of everybody else, out of all the people in the Old Testament, Moses, let me tell you, Moses was somebody unlike anyone in the Old Testament. It says about Moses in Numbers 12, the Lord said, listen to what I say. If there were prophets among you, I, the Lord, would reveal myself in visions. I would speak to them in dreams, but not with my servant Moses. See, other prophets in the Bible, he went to them in visions. He went to them in dreams, but not with Moses. With Moses, he said, of all my house, he is the one I trust. I speak to him face to face. Clearly not in riddles. He sees the Lord as he is. So why are you not afraid to criticize him? Lord, Moses met with the Lord face to face. Nobody else had that. Moses saw the power of God more than anybody else that we know of in history. Moses would come to the Lord continually, and the presence of God would come down, and he would speak to Moses. Moses went up to Mount Sinai 40 days, 40 nights, without food, without water, in the presence of God, and he would speak with the Lord. Nobody else got that. Out of all the people in the Bible, now this should be something you would want. You should want what he has with the Lord. And you see what's amazing. What made Moses, what really has stood him out. No matter what happened, when problems came, Moses wasn't afraid to get on his face and cry out to God. This is what made Moses so special. He was not afraid to get on his face and cry out to God. No matter how close he is with the Lord, no matter how long he's known God, no matter the miracles he's seen, when something came up and when problems happened, he got on his face and cried out to God, and God met him. Moses wasn't afraid. He wasn't filled with pride about his relationship with God. Even in day-to-day things, on an occasional basis, he would meet with the Lord in the tent. The presence of God would come down, and he would ask the Lord, "Lord, how do you want me to go about this? What do you want me to do? What do you want me to say?" That's what Moses did. That's how he lived his life with God. And that is how we need to live our life with the Lord as well. And what's amazing is Moses was set apart by God. He was set apart by the Lord to be able to be in the presence of God the way he was. Because we know in the Old Testament, only priests like that were allowed to be in the most holy place. And what's amazing is because of what Jesus did on the cross, because we've given our life to him, we're able to go into that holy place as Moses, and we're able to speak with him face to face. Have conversations with him, just like Moses. We are able to do that today because of what Jesus did on the cross. We can speak to him face to face. We can see him move through our life. We can experience the peace. We can know him as Moses knew him, and we can have the Lord look upon us and say, "You're the one I trust. Out of all my house, you're the one I trust." That's my desire, because the truth is, the Lord doesn't just give his trust to everybody. That's the truth. Of all my house, you're the one I trust. That's what he wants for us. He wants to be able to trust us. He loves us, and he cares about us more than anything or anyone could ever care about us. But he wants to trust us. And that will come when we cry out to him in trials. As we cry out to him and we don't puff ourselves up with pride and we don't pretend to be someone that we're not and we don't elevate ourselves above others, you'll see that come. The Lord, he's the same today as he was back then. And He's gonna remain steadfast. Remain faithful. He's not gonna let you down. But when he comes, he's going to come in the way that's best for you. He will provide. Just like he provided for Elijah and the widow. And what did he provide for? Continuous flour and oil. What does flour, oil, water make? Bread. For, I think it was 3 years, every day for 3 years, the provision was eating bread every day. And sometimes we want meat when the Lord says all you need is bread. We need to realize where we're at, be honest with him, and say, "Lord, I thank you for what I do have." And just fall on our face, and he will meet you. So of all the people, We need to strive for the Lord, not in our works, strive in our heart. We need to have this thing within our heart where we call upon him and we say, "Father, I want to meet with you face to face. Lord, I want to see you move. God, I want to hear your voice." He wants to move through your life. I don't know why it's so normal for Christians to not see the Lord move through our life in power. Why is that a normal thing? It was pretty normal in the Old Testament. It was pretty normal through the disciples. Why can't it be normal through all believers? Why can't we all see his power? His glory is here.
Yes.
Not everybody has an awareness of it, though. And that comes through intimacy. And that comes through calling upon his name. So I want to do something. Whatever you're going through, whatever problem you've faced, wherever you're at, I want you to know the Lord wants to meet you where you are. And we see what Moses did. What did Moses do? How did he hear the voice of the Lord? How did he know what the Lord want? How did he come and meet the Lord face to face? Well, Moses wasn't afraid to fall on his face. Moses wasn't afraid to get down to him and he didn't puff up his chest. It said he was the most humble person. He wrote that, but I think humility looks a little different from what most people think. But that's where it's at, is being willing to say, "Lord, I don't care what anybody else thinks. I'm going to fall on my face to you, And trials will come. Things will happen. People will make fun of you. People will laugh at you. People will mock you. When you follow the Lord with all your heart, you're going to have that in your life. And you're going to have people who leave you. And you're going to have people who decide that they don't want to be your friend anymore. And you're going to have family members that decide that they don't want anything to do with you anymore. But let me tell you something. Jesus wants everything to do with you. He wants all of you. He wants to know you. He wants you to know him in a way that you've never known before. He knows you better than anybody. And out of all creation, out of all the trees, all the birds, all the animals, all the things in heaven, all the angels, he chose us. That's who he chose. He could have chosen anything else. He could have chosen anyone else. But the Bible says that we're his prized possession. And he wanted us. You understand? He wants you. That he could have chosen anyone. And who knows how many millions of years, he put so much intention to creating you. And who knows how many millions of years he thought about you before you even came into existence. We don't even know. But you're here because he brought you here. And you're not just a mistake. And it doesn't matter what your family thinks. It doesn't matter what your friends think. He's glad that you're here. And he wants a relationship with all of us. And as believers, as Christians, we can't just say a one-and-done thing. We have to pick up our cross daily and follow him and say, Lord, you're worthy of it all. You're worthy of spending 12 hours with. You're worthy of traveling no matter how far the distance is so I can see your face. You're worthy of me looking like a fool so I can fall on my face and hear your voice. If you want to look like a fool and fall on your face, you're going to hear the Lord. He's going to meet you. And I've been crying out to the Lord, and I've cried out to him, and I've said, Lord, if you would, if anybody in this church today, if they want to hear your voice, if they want to experience you and meet you, I ask that if they cry out to you and they fall on your face, that you would come to them and meet them. And I have faith that that will happen today. So I want us to all stand. If you're here, if you're in this room, if you're going through something hard, something difficult, stop trying to cover it up. Stop trying to pretend like everything's okay. It's okay that things aren't okay. Please be honest with yourself. And if you're in this room and you're saying, Lord, I just want to have what Moses had with you. I want to speak to you face to face. I want to be your friend. Lord, I need to hear your voice. Then I want you to come to the front, and this whole space is open. And I want you to just get on your face and cry out to him. And I want you to do it right now. I'm not going to wait. Because the Lord, I know he's going to move. I've called out to the Lord, and he will meet you in this place right now. So if you're here this morning, you just need a touch from God. You just want to hear his voice. You just want to be with him as Moses was. And if you're going through any problem, just come to the front and cry out to him on your face. And if any of the prayer team is around, if you want to pray for anybody that's here, you're more than welcome to. And for everyone else, I just want to say you're blessed to leave if you need to go. Thank you so much for being here. This is going to be an open space. The Lord's moving right now as these people are up here. I can feel the presence of God. It's so strong. God's moving so much right now. And so this is an open space. If you need to be up here, then be up here. If you need to go, it's okay. You're blessed to go. Thank you so much for being here. And I so appreciate everyone that's in this room. I hope you have a good week. And so, Lord, thank you, Father, for who you are. I thank you, Lord, for everyone in this room. I pray, Father, that you would bless them. I pray, Father, that you would touch them now. I ask, Lord, that you would meet them where they're at. And I pray that throughout this week, you would just draw them closer and closer to you. And that anybody in this room, if there was anybody here who needed healing and they didn't receive it, I ask the healing would come right now. Come. And I thank you, Lord, that you are who you say you are. In Jesus' name, amen.